Well, thanks for joining us here at Calvary Temple Online. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be looking there today as we continue our series on chaos in our lives. Before we get into it, though, before meme time, let me just say that next Sunday, I'm really excited about next Sunday, October 27th, is our annual Trunk or Treat, and it's an incredible time. It goes from 4:30 to 6 p.m., and everyone is invited. Not only is there candy, there is a petting zoo, there's all kinds of fun things for kids to do. It's an incredible event you don't want to miss. And so if you live in the vicinity at all, hey, we invite you to come and be a part of that. So put that on your calendar next Sunday night, October 27th. Look forward to seeing you there. You know, it's meme time, and I came across this one because I can relate to this as something that actually probably is truthful about me, but I thought it was funny. It says, if you can't remember my name, just say chocolate. I'll turn around, right? That's the way I am, especially if you look at that's like a chocolate cheesecake or something. Man, I'm definitely going to turn around for that, you know? So I like this one too. I used to wonder what it's like to read other people's minds. Then I got a Facebook account. I'm over it now. Isn't that the truth? I mean, Facebook, well, that's all they do is share what's on their mind, right? So, well, you know, when it's October, I like this one. When it's October, but your grandma don't play that. And she has a sign in her yard that says the only ghost that lives in this house is the Holy Ghost. That's truth there, right? Truth. Well, today we're going to talk about chaos in our relationships, and it kind of reminded me of this particular meme. The sheepdog is saying to the sheep there, what do you mean I'm too controlling? You know, it's like, yep, that's what he does. Controls the sheep. Speaking of that, I like this one. If you're a Star Trek fan, you'll like this one. I saw you on the other side of the museum yesterday, and he says to her, well, why didn't you say hello? And she said, there was just too much history between us. Love it, right? Right. But speaking of relationships, as we're going to talk about relationships between one another, and I saw this one, I thought it was funny. The woman, because it's so true. The woman says, picks it up, shampoo for dry and damaged hair. The man picks up his 6-in-1 shampoo for hair, face, body, carpet, car, and dishes. I mean, isn't that the difference between men and women, right? Well, we're not going to necessarily talk about the difference between men and women today, but we are going to talk about the chaos that comes in our relationships. Read with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's begin at verse 25. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 25. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything that you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for these incredible words that are given to us by the Apostle Paul that we can take to heart and we can learn how to deal with the relationships in our life. Lord, I pray that you'd speak through this mouthpiece, challenge us today to just be more like you, to love others the way that you love us. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this is our fourth and actually final week of a series I've entitled Chaos. And it's about learning to stand your ground in a culture of chaos. Though we live in an unstable world, it is possible to develop the qualities of character that will contribute to a life of stability. Now, in week number one, we talked about dealing with self-inflicted chaos. We're talking about the chaos that we tend to create for ourselves, both through sinful willfulness and also through misguided and unwise decisions. We talked about the need to confront the chaos head on, asking the right questions, listening to the right people, and taking the right steps in the follow-up. Now, in the second week, we talked about dealing with the chaos that we encounter in the world around us. That even when things happen outside of our realm of influence, outside of our control, that we need to acknowledge that God is ultimately in control of even the most out of control situations. And we need to confront the chaos by taking charge of those areas in which we can take charge, doing our part and making things right, even when we feel like the problem's bigger than we are. Now, last week, we looked at the chaos of too much. I'm talking about the chaos of a full plate, the chaos that you experience when, you know, day in and day out, you have more to do than you can possibly get done, and the list just keeps growing and growing exponentially. Well, today we're going to look at the chaos in our relationships with one another. I think one of the things I find interesting about reading the Bible, and you find it in both the Old and the New Testament, is that in spite of more than a millennia that separates us, and in spite of the differences between our culture and their culture, you know, when you read stories of individuals and you read the spiritual advice given by King David or King Solomon or Jesus or Peter or Paul or James or John and all the rest, that you see in many ways that their experience was no different than our experience, especially when it comes to interpersonal relationships. I'm saying that back then, they sometimes had a hard time getting along with one another, just as today, we sometimes have a hard time getting along with one another as well. Now, I'm not merely talking about conflict between nations. I'm talking about conflict between neighbors. I'm talking about marital conflict. I'm talking about family conflict and friendship conflict and church fellowship conflict, and I could go on and on. Now, this isn't just an American issue. I've been to several countries around the world doing ministry, and although there are some cultural differences and some social differences, some economical differences, however, when it came down to how they get along with one another, they're not much different than we are. When it comes to relationships, their conflicts are almost identical to ours. You know, it's a problem that transcends time and it transcends our cultural boundaries. I mean, we are prone to chaos in our relationships with one another. Now, some people are better at getting along with others than other people are, but it's a challenge that we all face from time to time. This wall of separation between me and the ones that God has called me to love and to serve, there's always that challenge. You know, we've all experienced it to some degree. And I think the thing about relational conflict is that it has the power to make every other problem seem almost insignificant in comparison. I mean, relational conflict has the power to dominate your life like no other can. I mean, just ask anyone that's been through a divorce, or just ask anyone that has had to deal with a rebellious teenager. Just ask anyone who has ever experienced the betrayal of a friend. You know, let me ask you, do you remember way back in the old days, you know, back in the early 90s, when the Dallas Cowboys won two Super Bowls in a row? Their owner, Jerry Jones, responded by firing the head coach because they just couldn't get along. I mean, they had been lifelong friends, but the rift between them actually became too great to repair. And Jones says basically, in effect, he said, "I would rather miss the playoffs for the next several decades than to work with this guy." That is how chaotic conflict can be. I mean, when we get embroiled in conflict, we have a tendency to cut off our nose in spite of our face. And when that happens, both sides always lose. Now, most of the time, conflict can be avoided. We have a tendency to create conflict unnecessarily, is what I'm talking about. And then we have this tendency to nurture that conflict, you know, to feed it, to water it, to give it lots of sunlight so that it continues to grow until it finally becomes self-sustaining and we're no longer able to resolve it. But it doesn't have to be this way. And so today, as we conclude this series on chaos, I want to talk to you about four ways that we can minimize conflict in our relationships with one another. Now, these four keys will completely eliminate about 80% of the conflict in your life. And for the major conflicts, these four keys will go a long way in getting you on the right track to full and complete conflict resolution. Now, our text today is Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul talks a great deal about church unity. Now, the church in Ephesus was just like every other church that's ever existed anywhere. They had conflict to deal with. They had to learn to get along with one another. And so what Paul said to them, I think is what he would say to us today. I think he's speaking to us exactly today, because these are the steps that you and I need to take to build unity in our relationships. Now, there are four of them. Here's the first one. Number one is to seek to speak the empowering truth. Look at verse 25. He says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood. By falsehood, that he's literally meaning lies, okay? Put off falsehood or lies and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Now, a few verses before that, in verse 15, Paul says that we should be speaking the truth in love. And then a few verses later, down in verse 29, he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You know, I've heard people talk about speaking the truth as if it always has to be confrontational and it always has to lead to conflict. I mean, they think that speaking the truth is getting in someone's face and telling them what they're doing wrong. Listen, that's not what speaking the truth means. It's not speaking the truth in love when you do that. He tells us to speak it in love. You know, I was counseling a married couple once who told me about a conflict that they had 2 years prior. Now, they were still kind of like newlyweds, but this was their first big argument. And during the conflict, the wife said, I am sick of you. I am sorry I ever married you. I wish that I could go back to the first time that you asked me out on a date, because I would say no this time. Now, this officially signaled the end of their honeymoon phase, right? But the husband was crushed by her words. And again, he's heard them ringing in his ears. I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you. And as we talked about it, the wife continued to say, I didn't mean it. It wasn't really true. I spoke without thinking. You see, this is where a lot of our conflict begins. When we say things that aren't true, but we say them with the intent to hurt. And this is one kind of falsehood that Paul is telling us that we need to abandon once and for all. Now, in this conversation, the wife said to me, you know, it was 2 years ago when I said that. He needs to let it go. Now, listen, she has a point, but we must also make it our objective to never speak words that somebody has to get over. Don't tell the love of your life that you're sorry you ever met them. Instead, speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in a wholesome, uplifting, edifying way. By the way, Paul says there in verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. In the King James Version, those words unwholesome talk is actually translated corrupt communication. Now, in the New Living Translation, it says, do not use foul or abusive language. Let everything that you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. I really like the way, though, that it actually reads in the Contemporary English Version. It reads this way: stop all your dirty talk. Say the right thing at the right time and help others by what you say. I mean, that's really to the point, right? Now, we live in a culture today that is easily hurt and easily offended. And so Paul encourages the believers to be careful what you say, and don't say things and words that will offend somebody or that will hurt their feelings or make them become angry if it isn't absolutely necessary. Don't be a Karen or that person who has to argue about everything that they see on social media, but seek to speak the empowering truth in love. In love. Now that brings us to the next step in conflict resolution and conflict avoidance. And that is number two, deal with your anger before it takes over your life. You know, a couple years ago, my wife Marcia and I were headed to Louisville, Kentucky for a family wedding. And as we were driving in eastern Illinois on I-64, the temperature warning on my van, the temperature warning light came on. Now, what do you think my reaction might have been at that point? Do you think I said, oh, I'm sure it's nothing. I don't see any steam. I mean, if I ignore it, I'm sure it'll go away. I'll tell you, that was not my reaction at all. I mean, I was in the middle of nowhere. And there was no way I wanted to be stranded on the side of the road there in the middle of nowhere. So I took the warning light seriously and I checked it out immediately. I pulled over and checked it out, and I was able to let it cool there on the side of the road for a few minutes, put some water in the radiator, and slowly make my way back home so I could take it to a shop and have them fix it. Now, let me tell you something. Your anger is a warning sign, a warning signal that something needs to be dealt with. In fact, any negative emotion is actually a warning sign that something needs to be dealt with. Listen to what Paul says in verses 26 and 27. He says, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. In other words, the CEV version says it this way, don't go to bed angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. So when you're mad at someone, you've got to deal with it. And let me just say, the closer that person is to you in a relationship, the sooner you've got to resolve it. You can't just let it fester. Isn't that an ugly word, fester? Think about it. It describes what happens to a wound that is never cleansed or food that's never been properly disposed of, and instead it's just left in the cupboard to putrefy. You know, the same thing will happen with your relationships if you don't deal with your anger in a timely manner. Paul says that ignoring your anger gives a foothold to the devil, and you know that the devil isn't going to bring anything good into your life. Now, in dealing with your anger, you have actually two options, okay? Number one, which is the most common, you know, for me, is that you can come to the conclusion, you know what? Maybe I am making something out of nothing here. Maybe I am overreacting. Maybe I can ignore what that other person said or what that other person did because, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's not really that important. Maybe I'm making, you know, this all about me and about my ego, and I need to be a little less self-important anyway. So I'm not going to make a mountain out of a molehill here. So now there are some folks who go through life taking offense at every little thing, being offended at every little thing. You know, I don't like the way he looked at me. I don't like the way that he spoke to me. You know, that person said something on Facebook that I didn't like. I just don't like that. And I'm going to set him straight. You know, most of the time, now not every time, but most of the time, when I'm offended and huffy about something, it could be that the person who needs to change is me. It's me. I mean, it may very well be the same for you. And when this happens, you can pull back a little bit, give yourself some perspective and say, you know what? I refuse to make a big deal out of something that isn't a big deal, and I'm going to let this go. I'm just going to let this go. Now, you don't do this every time that your emotions are out of control, because sometimes the situation is serious and you have to deal with it head on. And so it's not about ignoring it. It's about resolving it together. It's about thinking through the outcome and determining what's profitable to be said or to be done and what will just cause more conflict and more chaos. You know, will this resolve the matter or will it aggravate it? Now, when there exists a serious conflict between people, what do? Well, you go back to square one of today's message. You go back to the first part. You sit down with that person, you look them in the eye, and you speak to them the empowering truth. And you speak the truth in love. You speak in a wholesome, uplifting manner. Now listen, even if the topic is tense, even if they are completely in the wrong, you don't lash out. You don't attack. You don't aim for the jugular. You speak the truth in love. Or you ask yourself if you might be the one who needs to change. And you think through the outcome and you determine what's profitable to be said, what's profitable to be done, and what will just cause more conflict and more chaos in this situation and in this relationship. I mean, again, is this going to resolve the matter or is this going to aggravate it? And you resolve it as quickly as possible. In fact, before the sun goes down, Paul says. Now, let's look at the next step in conflict resolution and conflict avoidance, and that is number three, be a giver, not a taker. Be a giver, not a taker. Paul said in verse 28 here that if you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Now, I've always found this verse a little bit curious, right? I mean, of course, we're not supposed to steal. I mean, we know that's one of the Ten Commandments. But what kind of people attended the church in Ephesus that they need to be reminded not to steal? I don't know. I mean, there's no doubt Paul's speaking literally here, you know, do not steal. But he's also speaking metaphorically, I believe. He's talking about living a life with an attitude that says that I'm looking out for me above all else, and I am taking what I need as well as what I want, and I don't care what it costs anyone else because, after all, it's all about me. You know, some people build their entire career on this concept that what is the least I can do and still draw a paycheck? What is the most I can expect for the least amount of effort? You know, if that is your attitude, then no wonder you're in conflict with your coworkers. No wonder things are tense with your boss. I mean, they can sense your me first attitude. Now, some people take this same attitude into a marriage, though. You know, they're afraid that at some point that they might have to give 51% and only receive 49%. But you know what? In the institution of marriage, let me just say, if you're only giving 50% to the other person, then you're not able to meet all of their needs. You're only meeting half of them. Because marriage requires each person to give 100% so that each person's needs are met. You see, when I give 100% to my wife, Marcia, her needs are met. And when she gives 100% to me, my needs are met. And it's the same in your relationship with your children and with your friends and even in your relationship with the church. I mean, when your attitude becomes, what can I give rather than what can I take or receive, most of your petty conflicts will disappear. In the first New Testament letter that Paul wrote, in the book of Thessalonians, he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands, just as we instructed you before. Then people who are not believers will respect the way you live and you will not need to depend on others. And then in the book of Galatians, which was probably the second letter that Paul wrote, he basically says the same thing in chapter 6, verse 5. He said that each one should carry their own load. And then in verse 2, he says, and that we should help carry each other's burdens. Now, we create a lot of conflict for ourselves when we neglect to carry our own weight, whether it's at work, at home, in our friendships, and in every other area. You know, others can sense our me-first attitude. We also create a lot of conflict for ourselves when we follow others around with our, you know, portable scale so that we can weigh their output in every situation because we don't want anybody else to get away with doing less than their full share. Now, obviously, if you're in a leadership position, there are times when you need to be sure that everybody is pulling their own weight. I get it, okay? But most of the time, however, it's best for us all to follow Paul's advice in 1 Thessalonians to mind our own business. Instead of nosing your way into what everybody else is doing, make sure you're carrying your own weight. Focus on what you're giving. Our attitude should be, you know what? I am a giver, not a taker. So of course the scales are always going to be a little off balance because I'm a giver. You know, this needs to be our attitude. We need to be faucets instead of drains. You know, we need to be the one that's giving out rather than taking in. And if by chance you have to deal with someone who is just too much of a taker and the situation becomes serious and it has to be resolved, what do you do? What do you do? Well, you go back to square one. You go back to the beginning of this message. You sit down with that person. You look them in the eye. You speak the truth in love. And you look for ways to resolve your differences with integrity and without hateful words or hostility. Now, let's look at a fourth step to avoiding and or resolving conflict. And this is one that we should have learned either in kindergarten or maybe in vacation Bible school or Sunday school. But number four is this: make kindness and compassion the key word of the day, every day. Every day. Look at verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Now, Charles Swindoll talks about visiting a university president's office who had a sign on his wall that read this: kindness spoken here. Kindness spoken here. Man, what a powerful message. What a powerful purpose to pursue in your interactions with others, just to be kind, just to be compassionate. You don't have to fly off the handle. You can stay on the handle. And your relationships will be better for it. And you don't have to be snarky on Facebook or Twitter or X, I guess it's called now, or even in real life. You know, even when the other person is in the wrong, you can still be kind. You can still be compassionate. Don't worry that they're not about to get away with anything. I mean, if it's really serious, you can resolve the conflict with the other person in a biblical way, speaking the truth in love and resolving the situation together quickly. And you know what? You can do it in a very kind and compassionate way. Do you know what helps me to develop an attitude of kindness and compassion? Well, the next part of this verse, verse 32, it goes on and says, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Listen, none of us are in a position to throw the first stone, ever, ever. When it comes to sin, we all bear the same stain. We all need to be forgiven by Jesus Christ. In fact, Romans chapter 3, verse 10 tells us, there is none righteous, no, not one. No, not me, no, not you, not anyone. So when you've got conflict with others and they're in the wrong and it needs to be resolved, you approach the situation with the same compassion that Jesus Christ has demonstrated when he saved you and pulled you out of the miry clay, when he brought forgiveness into your life. And so my challenge is that every day that you will make this your key word, that I will be kind and compassionate to everyone I meet. Let me say that again, that I will be kind and compassionate to everyone I meet. Write that down. Make that your keyword every day. That's my sentence that I'm going to live by that day. You know, in closing, these four interlocking steps, I believe, will help us to avoid most of our conflicts, and it will take us a long way in the right direction of resolving the rest. Speaking the truth in love. I'm talking about the empowering truth. The empowering truth of the Word of God. Secondly, dealing with your anger and your negative emotions before they take over your life and cause unnecessary damage. Number three, being a giver, not a taker. In other words, carrying your own weight and minding your own business. And then fourthly, treating others with kindness and compassion, forgiving as Jesus Christ forgave you. You know, a commitment to these four habits will make your life so much better in every way. And I want you to see one more thing here, okay? In all of this talk in Ephesians chapter 4 about, you know, living in unity, Paul says in verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. He's talking about unity, and he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And that's because God is grieved when we get petty with one another. God is grieved when we get snarky with one another. God is grieved when we put each other down. God is grieved when we adopt just an air of arrogance about us. God is grieved by our passive aggressive comments on social media and other places. Listen, remember, blowing out somebody else's candle does not make yours burn brighter. God wants his people to live together in peace. And his attitude is not, you know, maybe someday you'll get around to it. His attitude is starting right now. Starting right now, live in peace with one another. Here's what I'm challenging you to do. I'm challenging you to draw a circle around yourself. And I'm speaking symbolically here. But draw a circle around yourself and say, it is my intention to make this area a conflict-free zone. In this area, I don't take myself too seriously and I don't become too easily offended. I speak the language of kindness and compassion and the language of the empowering truth. In this no-conflict zone, I carry my own weight and I do what I can to help others to carry theirs. And in those moments when conflict becomes unavoidable, I refuse to believe that it is unresolvable. So I deal with it directly with love and with respect for others. You know, if this will be our attitude in the church, in our families, in our friendships, at work, the Holy Spirit would never be grieved in our midst. He would never have to be grieved. Instead, God would be glorified and the world would take notice. God wants us to resolve the chaos in our relationships. He's given us good principles to put in place to see that happen. You know, today, let me just ask, maybe you've never opened your heart and received Jesus Christ. Oh, we know God wants that relationship between you and him to be where it should be. It should be a relationship of love for one another, a relationship with him. And so he made that possible through Jesus Christ's death on the cross of Calvary. You see, that relationship had been severed because of sin, because we've all sinned. And Jesus came and bridged the gap and brought that relationship back where it should be. And he's offering you forgiveness, the forgiveness of your sins once and for all, the forgiveness of sins of all mankind. If you'll open your heart and receive him into your life, that forgiveness of Jesus will come and will wipe your slate clean, give you a fresh start, and you can have that relationship with God like you've never known. You know, if you want to do that right now, I just encourage you, just pray this prayer with me. Say, God, thank you for loving me so much that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross to pay the price for my sins. I receive that forgiveness right here, right now. I ask you to come into my life, Jesus. I ask that you would start a relationship with me right here, right now, that would go on for all eternity. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer in the comment section, say, Pastor, pray that prayer with you today because I want to rejoice with you and I want to pray that God would cause you to grow more and more in your relationship with God every day. You know, for many of us, though, that conflict, devil's always bringing that conflict into our life, that chaos in our relationships. And God has given us principles. Here, Paul gives us some principles on how to resolve the chaos in those relationships. And so today, I want to encourage you to look for a resolution. Look for those relationships and conflicts to be resolved. God is going to help you to do it, but you have to do your part as well. So as I close in prayer, we're going to pray that God will help you to resolve the chaos in your relationships today. Father, I thank you today. You care about our relationships. Lord, you created us for relationships. And you want those relationships to be strong. You want us to walk in unity with one another. So Lord God, I pray today that we would take the principles that you've given us today. And Lord, we would speak the truth in love, the empowering truth. That Lord, we would deal with things that need to be dealt with. But Lord, that we would every day make it our goal to speak with kindness and treat other people with kindness and compassion. And Lord, today help us to connect with you in such a way that Lord, your light shines through us, that Lord, you use us to show your love to everyone that we come in contact with. And Lord, that we the chaos in the relationships that maybe exist now, Lord, that you'll help us to resolve that and that you'll resolve it. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.